Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Brunts, Brian Christofferson, fresh off of a trip to the big house, the wonderful city of Detroit, the nearby college town of Ann Arbor. Like, where does Ann Arbor start and Detroit end?
Well, you head kind of, I guess it's northwest a little bit out of Detroit, and you go through well, we stay by the airport, but you go through like I think it's Ypsilanti, where Eastern Michigan is.
So oh, wow. That's right there, too.
It's right there. And then like two more exits down, you hit Ann Arbor. So it's all right there.
Wow. I didn't realize Ypsilanti was that close.
It's right there. Yep.
I've spent no time thinking about where Ypsilanti is at. Now I know it's valuable information.
I think Nebraska's actually stayed there a few times rather than Ann Arbor when they've played at Michigan. So,
can you name any former Eastern Michigan coaches?
There was an assistant coach there for a while that had Nebraska connections. I forget who it is. But no, I can't. Should I be able to?
No, I mean, I can't either. The only name in my head is like Ron English, and I feel like I'm making that up.
That sounds right, actually.
BC, could you name any Eastern Michigan coaches?
No. I'm sure I've seen them play like Ohio State at 11 a.m. on a ESPN2 on September 3rd some year, but that's as deep as it goes with me and them.
Do either of you care about Maction?
Not really.
It's nice to have something on. I mean, some football is better than no football. That's generally, I think, where I come down on most things.
Brunts in favor of some football. BC in favor of no football. Welcome back to the 2020 discussion.
No, I'm in favor of football. I'm in favor of it more than NBA, which could lead us into what happened to us Saturday night.
Man. Oh, okay. All right.
Speaking of not being in favor of more football.
Brunts can share it. I mean, I'll set it up, and then he can hit it off the tee. But we're sitting there watching, was it Texas TCU? Pretty decent. It wasn't a high-scoring game, but it was a close game in the third quarter. And we had people saying, man, this Oregon-Washington game is incredible on Twitter, but it's not on one of the 10 TVs. So we're stuck
11.
Watching.
There were 11 TVs. Details are important here.
But, beggars can't be choosers. We're like, well, we got a game on in front of us, and we'll follow this other one on Twitter. And suddenly, what happens, Bruns? What happens?
So it was 3-0, TCU up. Then they house a 75-yarder. It was the long run in the third quarter. We're like, okay, this game's getting a little spicy. We're waiting for food, getting a little excited. We were still curious about that Oregon-Washington game, though. The third quarter was kind of popping off. So we're just sitting there kind of watching Texas TCU. All of a sudden, the bartender disappears in the back for a second. And I'm not kidding. And mind you, we're in Detroit, okay? We're in Michigan. Every TV, all 11 TVs in the bar / restaurant turn to a Pelicans-Rockets game that's in the middle of the third quarter, in which I believe the Rockets were up like 16 points at that point.
Somebody was up 16, yeah.
And
the Pistons weren't involved.
Brian and I kind of start doing we start looking around the bar, wondering what's going on. Like, Brian's looking to see if Akeem Olajuwon's sitting in the back of the restaurant somewhere and wants to see what's on the TV. I have never in my life in a place that has that many TVs, which would signal we kind of know sports here, that every channel has turned to a game that's completely irrelevant to anything that's going on in the U.S., in Detroit. Like, the Pistons were playing at home that night against the Celtics, and they didn't even turn to that game.
Maybe they were blacked out of that one.
So they're like, okay, well, we're still going to – next best thing, we're going Rockets-Pels. Let's see how Zion Williamson's doing tonight.
Yeah,
maybe he was having, like, a record-setting performance. I cannot name any players on the Rockets, not one.
Well, we looked around to see if Vernon Maxwell was like there and had to send like, you know, put the Rockets on the set, please. Couldn't find him. So that wasn't it. I would make this plea to anybody who works at a sports bar or owns a sports bar. I think this is very important, and I know all our listeners would agree. A key part, it's not your food. Your food, everybody knows, is going to be pretty average. Like, everybody is aware of that when you go to a sports bar. So don't even worry so much. Just send me out your average wings, whatever. But have somebody, please, who has a great awareness of what's on that night sports-wise on like 15 different channels and is just like, you know, just on the trigger, like, okay, we're moving here, we're moving there. And it's all, you get it all covered. And if you are that type of sports bar, you will have success. It doesn't even matter if your bread is moldy. It doesn't matter. You've got to get the TV situation right. And so many people don't anymore.
I'll even take the scenario where you ask the bartender, like, hey, can I get XYZ game on this TV right here? And they act like you're asking them to just move mountains. I'll feel bad in that situation. I'll express some contrition. You know, sometimes they don't know what station it's on, and that's fine. I'll look it up for you, and we can kind of work through it together. But all 11 televisions turning to, like, I was trying to think of what else they could have put on at that time that would have been more just egregiously dumb. Like, like a World Series from, like a World Series replay from, like, 93? Like, can I get, like, or 1990? Like,
I was going to say, a Phillies Blue Jays replay wouldn't be the worst thing that's ever
on all 11 TVs. Yeah, but so...
Hey, people like Joe Carter.
Big Joe Carter fans. He's from Oklahoma City, not Detroit, so that wouldn't have made much sense either. But, yeah, it was... Brian and I were like, what is going on here? And we ended up paying and leaving. We had to rush home to the hotel to try to get that...
Oregon-Washington, yeah.
Oregon-Washington game. By the way, which we actually could watch because it was on... For some reason, we've had this run of hotels in Big Ten territory that doesn't have FS1 or the Big Ten network. Like, what are you doing, Kevin Warren?
Yeah, get that fixed.
Sorry. Dude, that's the banter.
No. That's fine. I want to add to this here a little bit. I feel like I should at least ask the question that I think has been asked by multiple listeners. Did either of you consider getting your phone out and putting the game on your phone?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, that's something that, I mean, it'll take me to like 2035 till I am capable of something like that. So,
I mean, that's largely why I asked the question, is to get that kind of answer.
I don't know my YouTube TV password.
I haven't logged in
on one browser on my laptop, and that's the go-to, but I do not have it on my phone.
I feel like this is a real thing for you, having known you now for, you know, what, since 2011? Passwords are sort of the bane of your existence, and they exist only in like one particular computer or one phone or one laptop, and they don't intermingle with the other of the two things.
If I ever lose my laptop, I may as well just get a shovel and start digging my own grave, because there's no coming back from that.
Incredible. All right, so that was the first question. And like, did you guys even bother asking anyone, or was it just like, this is, we're so far done here, like we're buried?
No, we didn't have the guts for it.
Was it,
I guess,
busy? Was there a lot of people there? Really.
No, like that's what we were like. Who was wanting that game? And the bartender seemed pretty pleased with the change that he had made too. Like,
yeah,
man, we've filibustered way too long. We can go on other topics, but
that's fine. I want to finish with this. Just a shout out to all the bars that do Sunday Ticket, and they put up on like under the TVs which games are going to be shown. That way you don't get there and there's some guy who has a spot that he wants to sit in, but he demands that his game is over there. It's like the most efficient way things can possibly be run at sports bars. Just having that sheet that tells you that the noon game is going to be Ravens versus Cowboys, and then at 3:25 you're getting Chiefs Broncos. Like, that's what the people want. They want that kind of efficiency.
Yep.
Yep. So we just, all agree on that.
I want to give those people a shout out. There, not everybody does it, but the ones that do, we acknowledge and we appreciate. All right, 10 minutes into the show. This is not a podcast about sports bars, though I think such a podcast would probably be well received.
Yeah, you're going to have to timestamp this for some people when we actually get to the...
I'll do that. I will 100% do that. All right. Nebraska played a football game. Nebraska lost 34-3. The most notable thing in that football game that happened, Brian Christofferson, was?
Ernest Hausman being a dude. I mean, that was... The young parts, like, that could be important in the future, like Hartsog kind of holding up on the island. Hausman with that acceleration and sack was impressive. Gifford having some lessons trying to play a different position, but he's going to be key. I mean, it's those type of – Javon Wright played 27 snaps. That's it. Other than that, it was a snoozer. And honest to goodness, I turned to Brunts, and this is good and bad, but this is what it is. I said this is as good as it could go for Nebraska in this game. Like, it was, I mean, it was sort of one of those games, 34-3, okay, they got out of there, I guess, kind of with their dignity. You know, it wasn't like 63-3.
Well, that ball touched the back line, so it shouldn't even have been 34-3.
Right. That was, I mean, that's the best you could say. I thought the defense fought. I really did. I thought they fought as hard as they could, and they're just outmanned. And then you have no offensive threat at all. There you go.
Brunch, your biggest takeaway that BC hasn't touched on yet?
I mean, that game was... you know, kind of like a new box on the bingo card where you have your offensive coordinator getting x-rays at halftime. I mean, that's,
I should not laugh.
I hope that Mark Whipple is okay. We'll get an update, I'm sure, on that today. But, I mean, you have Chubba Purdy in the locker room with the high ankle sprain. I can only imagine the conversation. I told Brian this. Like, can you just imagine the conversation when if you're Chubba Purdy sitting there in the locker room and they bring Mark Whipple in at halftime to get x-rays? Like, it's just, you know, one thing after another for Nebraska football. Brian hit on the highlights, I think. You know, I think the defense fought a little bit. I think they were helped out by some questionable coaching by Jim Harbaugh late in the second quarter. I thought they really kind of took the air out of the game a little bit by their own decision-making. So that played in Nebraska's favor. I don't know what they're going to do going forward. We can hit on that a little bit if you want to, but I mean, without Purdy, it's basically Logan Smothers. They had Jarrett Sinek on the trip along with Matt Masker as your three quarterbacks. So it's going to be, you know, more tough stuff, I think, the next couple weeks if Casey Thompson is unable to go.
All right. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because we obviously will have a hype cast coming up this week. But I'm just going to throw this question out to each of you. We'll start with Brunts and we'll work to BC. What do you want to see out of Nebraska on Saturday? Like, what is it that you want to see in that football game on Saturday?
points. I mean, like that's kind of where we're at now. I mean, they haven't scored a touchdown in, what is it, 7.5 quarters. So I don't know. I mean, like there's not – that's where we are in the season. There's two games left. You're not going to a bowl. There's no magical button that you're going to push on offense short of getting Casey Thompson back that's going to make that picture look dramatically different. So if it's the backups again this week, I really don't know what, you know, that there's anything I'm hoping to see unless it's some semblance of a run game or creativity around Logan Smothers at quarterback. Like it's really dire to say that, but I just don't know what improvement or button is going to be pushed over the next two games that we have not already seen tried or, you know, that Nebraska's done.
BC?
I'll look at the defense. I mean, the offense, maybe they are going to be exactly what we think they are the last two games, but the defense has some of these younger guys, as I mentioned the last answer, where it's at least intriguing, and they played pretty well in a lot of areas against Michigan. I mean, I respect the fact that Corum didn't have a run of longer than 12 yards. Like, that's hard to do against that guy. And so they actually kind of made Michigan have to fight their way down the field. You know, they limited the explosives. Against Wisconsin, that could give you a fighting shot. And I think you're to the point in the season where you just want to see, like, with this defense where 4, 5, 6 guys could be back in 23 for whoever the coach is, if they play solid football, that at least gives you, okay, there's that maybe, you know, like there's at least that's working for Nebraska going into the long off season.
I don't know that it's going to happen. I'd like to see Casey Thompson. I'd like to see this team with at least a capable quarterback out there. Because as Brian has kind of said a couple times here, I think the defense has played well now for the last three games. Like, they've deserved better from the other side of the field. If you get Casey Thompson out there, I think Nebraska could win these next two games against Wisconsin and Iowa. They played each other on Saturday. Neither team is good. Neither team is good. Brunson's making a face, but seriously, Casey Thompson's healthy. Nebraska probably beats Minnesota. I feel fairly confident they beat Minnesota. And they may have beaten Illinois. I mean, and I think that Wisconsin and Iowa are more of the same. So if Casey Thompson can go for Nebraska on Saturday, I think they have an opportunity to finish with a couple wins, can be a disruptor in the car pileup that is the Big Ten West, and probably help usher Purdue into a championship game. So that's what's out there still for the Huskers. All right, for our podcast listeners, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to dive into the coaching search. Things have either heated up or have stayed the same. It depends on who you talk to. You're going to talk to us. Actually, you won't talk to us. You're going to hear from us, and we'll give you what we've been hearing with the coaching search, where things sit, all that and more when we return on the Husker 24/7 podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. I said we were going to dive into some coaching search talk, and we're going to do exactly that. The last couple of days have been rife with rumors, with conversation, with people spotted or not spotted here in Lincoln. All of the kind of stuff that you expect from a coaching search that has roughly taken us about 6 weeks to get to this point. BC, where have you focused your time these last couple days as it feels like things have heated up with Nebraska's coaching search?
Well, first off, I'm surprised it took this long to have a coach spotted in a grocery store or at least a parking lot. And what I didn't expect was it was going to be Super Saver. I believe that's where Matt Rhule was spotted.
Oh, was it Matt Rhule? Because I feel like we've seen Deion Sanders and
Deion
a handful of other people too.
Well, anyway, that part I thought would actually come earlier in the process. I guess here's what I think. I think Trev's inner circle on this is like two or three people. I really do. And I think Trev has been sort of determined, and if not, he's succeeding at it, whether he is or isn't, at kind of keep, like, I'm going to hold this till we get to the flag. Like, there's not going to be a bunch of leaks about this. That's not the way this coaching search is going to play. And so I don't think there's been a lot of information that's come out of there. I think, you know, with us, it sort of has been some outside conversations. And I do think there's been some legitimate interest in Matt Rhule. And I don't know if that's gone both ways or not. I don't think as of Monday that anything was locked down. I don't believe that. I think they might be very close on a few guys and know who their short list of three or so is, but I don't think anything was locked down. And I, at this point, and this could be wrong, and if it's wrong, so be it. Everybody's is wrong on these things at some point, but I suspect it's going to be you would have put your betting money on at the beginning, that this is going to be a Saturday or Sunday after the Iowa game announcement. Even if that decision gets locked up, you know, like within the next week or so, but I don't think it's in the bank yet. I don't, that's my take on it. And, other than that, it's hard to say. I mean, I think Rhule's a possibility. And after that, you know, maybe a Mark Stoops is in there, but I don't know for sure. There's a lot of, guesswork, I think, still at play.
Brunt, how do you feel about the timing of all of this? Because that's the part that I have been sort of most curious. If you're Trev Alberts and you're close with Mickey Joseph and you want to give Mickey Joseph an opportunity to, you know, present his case for this job, but you also have to have a coach pretty well lined up right after Black Friday, whether it's Mickey Joseph or not. How do you feel like the timing of this is sort of played out? I mean, do you think we're kind of past the point where an announcement could come before the end of the season, or do you still think something could happen over the next week or so?
Yeah, I mean, my impression has been that, you know, from what Trev has said, and I don't know, he doesn't strike me as the guy that's going to completely deviate from something like this, but the time frame has seemed to be, or at least for a formal announcement, has been after the season. I mean, I can certainly understand the case to be made that, you know, you need, with the portal opening on the 5th, and kind of needing to get recruiting rolling, I could see where you could make the case that, okay, once you get your guy, announce him and let him get moving. At the same time, I just have always kind of thought through this process that it has seemed like Trev is going to let things play out, is going to respect the current team, respect Mickey, and, you know, be methodical about it. And I think that's kind of, you know, where things are at, or my continued take on things. Could be wrong about that, but I just think that's kind of the way that Trev has operated and will operate. I don't think that he's personality-wise going to just get nervous and all of a sudden announce something just to announce it. I think he's got a pretty methodical plan to all of this.
BC, let's say that it is Matt Rhule. What would that kind of hire signify to you about what Trev Alberts has kind of done here?
If it is Matt Rhule, I would be impressed with the hire. I don't know that everybody would be. I think there's some people who would quickly go to, well, it didn't work out at his last stop. I kind of differentiate between some guys are meant for the college game, some are not meant as much for the NFL game, and maybe that was the experience Matt Rhule had to have in Carolina to show college is my game. I know he's bounced around a little bit, but if you look at his job history, all of his job changes have been natural job elevations that anybody would make in those circumstances, you know, going to Temple and then, okay, you move to that Baylor job And then you want your shot at the NFL. He's at a point in his life. He's a great age wise, like, cause he has a lot of head coaching experience, yet he's only in his late 40s. So that's kind of perfect in that way. And I feel like he's got interesting recruiting concepts. I know 24/7 Sports ran a story about him in Baylor, when he was at Baylor, and just how he analyzes prospects and stuff like that. And it was very detailed and well thought out and sort of a little off on his own path on how he puts together a roster. So I think there's a lot of intrigue that would come with that hire. And it would also show they would have to, it's a big time hire as far as if that's the guy, as far as like the college football world is concerned. I know Trev at the beginning said, I don't have to have the splash hire. And I don't think that's what he set out to do, but I think you guys would agree. Sometimes in our little bubble, people have a different reaction than people on the outside. I think most people, if they saw that Nebraska landed Matt Rhule, would be like, holy heck, you know, like, wow. You know, I really think that would be the general reaction around a lot of college football observers in the country. You'd get a few naysayers, but that goes with any hire.
Yeah, I know for my own experience of when I've made some phone calls and trying to check on Matt Rhule specifically, when I mentioned him in Nebraska, there's been somewhat of a surprise that that's like where he would end up. So that would be sort of interesting to see what that reaction would be. Brunt, is the door closing on Mickey Joseph, or is that still a potential possibility in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of the Mickey Express that seemed to be rolling down the tracks after, you know, the wins against Rutgers and Indiana, I think that's kind of calmed a little bit. That's my sense, I think, from talking to people and the fans. I mean, that was the thing was, you know, at the start of this, you know, Mickey's a fiery guy, had guys playing hard. And I think there was at least a segment of the fan base that was kind of saying, okay, let's give this guy a shot. I mean, he was kind of the energy boost that I think the program needed. He obviously recruits well. I don't know that that's kind of continued, I guess, with the way that Nebraska's kind of lost the last few games. And it's kind of looked similar to the way things were before Mickey took over as interim head coach, with the close losses and, you know, not being able to kind of find answers. And I think the thing that's important to note, though, is, you know, this is not the staff that Mickey would choose. This is not the offense that Mickey would run. You know, you have your starting quarterback that, as we've seen, was quite a bit of ways ahead of his backups in terms of what he brings to the table. He's hurt. I mean, that's something you kind of have to go through and deal with. But I just don't I don't know if that's necessarily where the search is headed at this point, or at least that's my read on it.
So one of the things that's always sort of interesting is when you have all these kinds of rumors that have now popped up, and we've, you know, heard everything from Deion Sanders to Matt Rhule to, you know, retaining Mickey Joseph to the couple people, particularly on our message board, keeping Urban Meyer's name alive single-handedly. Is there like a surprise candidate that you could think of where you'd be like, oh, well, not only is that interesting, but I definitely didn't see that coming. Like, are we too far down the tracks where that could still be a thing? Like, could you get I don't know that there's a version of Brian Kelly to LSU sitting here for Nebraska, but, or a Lincoln Riley to Oklahoma, but is there like a potential surprise where it's like a name that you've come across where it's like, yeah, I could see that, but maybe it just catches people off guard? Anything like that for you, Brian?
I think it's still actually possible because I think a lot of people don't actually know what Trev's like final three looks like. Like, I mean, I think there's been some maybe through agents or whatever, some piecing together of maybe who one or two of those guys are, but there could be another one. I know when like Jeff Monken's name popped up on like the Football Scoop report, that's probably a name that like surprises some people, like that he would be in consideration. I know he's well thought of in the coaching community. There'd be all sorts of difficulties with that one, though. I mean, Army-Navy would be a game you wouldn't be able to skip out on. The portal opens December 5th. I mean, if you actually got into a discussion on that particular hire beyond just like, wow, that's interesting with Jeff Monken, it would be difficult from a logistics standpoint as far as like what you need to do in December. So as far as a name that one time, which I forget which car ride it was, but Brunson and I got to, we threw out like get Gus Malzahn or somebody like that. I mean, that, you know, like some that sort of category of guy who you haven't heard as much about, but maybe there's like one or two guys like that who sort of has slipped through the cracks. But, and that's not me saying that Gus Malzahn's in consideration, but it would have to be somebody like that, you know, to your question that, and I don't think it is, but I leave open that we could be stunned by this. I still leave open that possibility. We were stunned by Mike Riley, and Trev has kept this one very close to the vest. And so I think there's a couple guys we know could be considered, but I also think there might be one surprise still on the short list. I do
what
think
says you, Brunts. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Brunts. No, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm curious. Do you guys think that if it's, you know, the firing a coach so early in the season, I mean, it's still a relatively new thing in college football. Do you guys think that, and I've wondered about this, whether a prolonged search like Nebraska's gone through, if that makes it easier to have an out of left field type candidate versus, you know, we got to get a guy in a week, basically. Do you think that just the nature of the search itself invites that possibility more than if they had bounced Scott Frost after Iowa and needed to get somebody in really quickly?
Yeah, I think it does, because I think instead of just having to listen to the same like 10 names that everybody's expecting you to go after, you sort of have the ability to take a long kind of look at it, really sort of put some lines out there and see if you get any nibbles on them and kind of go from there. I mean, that's part of why I think it's still possible that, you know, there's this coach that could be out there that we're not really talking about because you just don't expect him to be at Nebraska when this is all said and done, because he just wasn't mentioned all along, or you don't think somebody like that is leaving his job or whatever. And so that's kind of why. And then you wonder if stuff like what we saw on Monday and a couple of weeks ago, if that's just sort of born out of the lack of news that's sort of happening. So then, you know, a little kernel of something that the coaching agent world is hearing that Matt Rhule and Auburn or Matt Rhule and Nebraska, something could be going there. Then all of a sudden that kind of blows up and everybody's like focused on Matt Rhule. Meanwhile, in the background, you could have these other conversations going on that are the real ones. So I think it's definitely, when you have a longer search like this, it presents itself for more sort of wild options. But we did see, you know, Nebraska with Mike Riley sort of is the opposite of that, where that was an after the season and a really quick hire and not one that anyone would have guessed or was on a lot of the board. So I guess it kind of could go both ways.
Here's what I think the long-term search has allowed Trev to do, and I believe this fully, that it probably keeps him – I mean, the fans might say when the hire's announced, oh, they fell on their face there. Who's to say how the fans are going to judge it? But I think Trev has had enough time that he can have a list of three or four guys about this point in the search process that he feels like there's a good chance they might say yes. And you can also have your sort of specifics arranged for different guys, you know, so you can kind of work through the process. Like if a first guy you wanted said no, you could have something pretty well set for a second guy. You know, like I feel like it allows them to organize some of those specific numbers and stuff that you got to get to finalize a deal and have them waiting sort of in a line for guys. I think that's a real possibility here. That now, you know, we've worked our way through the point of you've filtered it down basically to like, these are the three or four guys and here's what we would give them. And all the specifics are set. And then you have your rankings and who said, you know, it goes to who says yes. And if someone says no, you move down the list. But it puts you probably in a position as an AD where you feel like, even if it gets to my third guy, I've done enough research that I like that guy. Maybe I didn't like him quite as much as the first guy, but I believe that he could get something done at this program.
Are either of you ready to make any kind of prediction right now? We got a head shake from Brunch for the podcast listeners. We got another head shake and a look up to the left from BT. He's looking suspicious. If this was an interrogation, we'd assume he's lying.
Do you have I'll ask it to you. Do you think it's going to go a certain way?
No, I don't. I mean, I kind of default back to this. Like, I still feel like if I had to place a bet on any one thing to happen, I still think I would place a bet on Mickey Joseph. And I don't, I mean, it's partly because I don't know that I believe strongly that Matt Rhule is going to end up at Nebraska. I just, for as much effort as we put into some of the phone calls and trying to confirm that there's even conversations happening there, we really haven't been able to do that beyond just a certain level. And I don't know. Like, I don't know that how this will go. And so if I was betting, like I said, if someone's like, you got to put $100 on one of these coaches, I think I'd still put it on Mickey Joseph. And very well could be wrong, but it just feels like sort of the safest bet to me right now, or the one that I'm most confident would be in that final three. So I think that's part of it for me, which I think opens the door that could be really surprised when this thing gets announced. It really could be a surprise. What about you guys? Nothing? If you had to put $100 on a name right now.
If it does end up being Mickey, I would consider that a surprise. I would.
Okay.
Not like Mike Riley, you know, who the heck is this guy kind of a surprise, but like I think I would be a little bit surprised if it was Mickey.
I guess if I had to, I wouldn't want to put $100. That's the answer to give you where I feel about it. I'd put like 10.
You got to put $100.
If I had, okay, this is, you know, $100, you have to make this bet. Who is it? I guess I would say Matt Rhule, but okay. I don't, that's not to say like I'm real confident in it. I'm not. I do think there's some smoke there. I believe that. And I don't think we, I agree also with what you were saying, Schaefer. I don't think we felt strong enough to be like, we wrote a little bit about his name here and there, right, but it's all been based. And I hope, hopefully our readers have understood that. And we've tried to make it clear. We've been trying to be very careful about that. It's all based off sort of just back channel talk. And that's where I say, and with back channel talk, you have to be very careful because sometimes guys like to get their name just floated out there. Like, yeah, that's happening. They definitely want Matt Rhule. Somebody wants to say that, and that gets passed down the telephone, you know, conversation. And before you know it, it's a big story somewhere. And maybe it's just a leverage tactic. You never know. So, all that stuff, I think Trev has succeeded wildly in not letting it get too wild out of what's coming out of those inside those doors. Like he's excelled at that up to this point. And I have a feeling he might be able to carry it to the end till the press release comes out, but we will see.
Brunch, you still haven't placed your $100 bet that I'm forcing you to make.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know. Like
no one knows.
You have to pick one guy. Who is it? One guy you think. It's like you got to bet your next.
Look, maybe you want to play the odds. Maybe you're going to get weird. Maybe you're honking for Monken.
I don't know that I'm honking for Monken, but the fact that he continues to be in the conversation leads me to believe, and the fact that he's like the complete polar opposite of what you saw during the Frost era leads me to believe that he's at least in that conversation a bit, which. That I don't think that would win the press conference. I don't know. I mean, if you're gun to my head, I mean, I guess Rhule. But I don't have any kind of level of confidence that that would be your guy.
Yeah. Okay. What do you guys think about Stoops?
I got in trouble on the message board because I think he would be fine, coach. I think he would. Everything about what he's built over at Kentucky feels like it's basically just like Iowa to the east. Like, they have a pretty good defense. They have an absolutely atrocious offense every year, except when they had Wandale Robinson. They have benefited more than probably any other SEC team on their crossover games and lack thereof in the West. Every year, two of their wins are the bowl game in Louisville. And then they beat three bad MAC teams or an FCS team or whatever. Like, they just don't beat good teams. Like, they're probably one of the more overrated programs in the sense that, like, they get a lot of commendation for winning eight games, and none of those eight wins are against a winning team or against anybody of any substance. I don't know. I think Mark Stoops is fine. I think he could do a nice job. I wouldn't be particularly thrilled about it. It would be better than Jeff Monken. It'd be better than Gary Patterson. Beyond that, like, I think I'd rather have Dave Doran. I think I'd rather have Lance Leipold or Chris Kleiman or guys like that. Stoops just, I don't know. It just doesn't. And then the other thing is, he's in that job, and it's kind of remarkable because he started 2-10, 5-7, 5-7. That can't happen wherever he goes after this. Like, college football has changed so much that probably not going to get 3 years at 17 wins. I know Frost did, but so I'm probably the low guy in this group on Stoops.
I don't know. I get kind of what you're saying. I think on one of our travel sessions, Brunson and I were talking about, I kind of brought him up to get to this discussion. There is sometimes that group of coaches who has had success somewhere where they've got it sort of that 8 or 9 win total. And it could be tough to really get beyond that for where they're at. And some very savvy coaches, I always say it, describe it as staying ahead of the posse, where you're like, you kind of know, like, I've maxed out at this place in this conference, and now it's time to, like, go somewhere else where you get that 5 or 6 year deal, you know, and you start it over again. That happens a lot in this profession. And I think of guys like that, where some people would say, well, they wouldn't be interested. He's doing that and that. Well, they might be, because it's like the Dan McCartney factor at Iowa State back in the day. He built them up, and with Seneca Wallace, they had a nice little run, and then he couldn't exceed the bar that he had sort of set that no one had.
Yeah.
And so that can be difficult, and some very wise coaches get that. We could name them. You could go through and think of guys like that. And so they make that move before, when people don't think they're going to make it, because they're a year ahead on, like, Matt Campbell's maybe an example of a guy who waited 1 year too long to make that move.
Well, you want the example. You want the ultimate example. You want a guy who probably would take the Nebraska job if it was offered, Pat Fitzgerald. He's exactly what you're talking about, BC. Hmm. Like, I don't think the future looks great for him with Northwestern right now. Like, I mean, just back-to-back horrendous years. I mean, they're going to go 1-11.
There's your surprise name. Right. Or,
how do we think that's going to be received?
I think people would kind of get behind it. Am I wrong? I think Fitzgerald
is making a face.
Doesn't he got sort of like a lot of built up, like, sort of capital with the Husker fan base?
He says, I mean, for all the coaches that talk well about Lincoln, no one talks as nicely, I guess, as Pat Fitzgerald about this program and this place. But I don't know if that's going to make anybody feel warm and fuzzy if he's coming off a 1-11 season.
The thing I love about this time of year is, like, someone will hear that clip and they'll be like, Husker 247 guys are talking about Fitzgerald. Like, one little line, like, takes off somewhere.
He's very, I think, in the minds of Nebraska fans, very similar to PJ Fleck, where it elicits a big eye roll. Like, I think that's where it would be. And, I mean, I think that he would align quite a bit with what Trev Alberts would be looking for, but the last couple of years up there have not been good at all. So
here's my, like, off the, not really off the wall, but like my surprise name that if I had to put $10 on, just way out there on odds, because I don't think he can win at a high enough level, and they've committed to him a little bit, and he might be trying to stay ahead of the game. Sam Pittman, I think, fits a lot of what Nebraska needs. I wouldn't be shocked if he, you know, looks at his situation at Arkansas and basically sees Ole Miss and Alabama and LSU and whoever's going to be in the Texas A&M chair and Auburn and everything else. Like, would it shock me if Sam Pittman is like, they got money, they'll pay for it, they want trench play, and he knows the Big Ten a little bit? Like, I wouldn't be that surprised. Like, I'd be surprised, but you'd be able to make sense out of it as to why he'd leave a sitting Power Five job that's probably viewed better right now than Nebraska to go to Nebraska. So Sam Pittman's my, like, off the wall, you know, why the hell not?
Yeah. I mean,
you just got to outbid the Waltons.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad hire by any means in my estimation, but don't know if they could pull off, but yeah, that's an interesting name. I mean, the fact that we're still, like, kind of talking about surprises, though, goes to how hidden the search has been. And that's a good thing for Trev Alberts, probably. He hasn't had it play out, like, publicly at this point, like, oh, Nebraska extended an offer to this guy and got shot down sort of thing. Like, there's been none of that. And maybe the long-term process helps with that too, helps you avoiding that headline. We'll see. I mean, we're getting a crunch time where some of that stuff can pop up now, but that could be a factor where you don't see that, like, oh, Nebraska swung and missed at these three guys thing. We'll see, though.
All right, are you guys ready to have this same exact conversation next Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have a different conversation on Thursday when we bring back the Husker Hype Cast. I know there's at least one person who wanted the hype cast to end, and we promise you it will not end. We are going to get you as hyped as humanly possible. Yeah, once we started this thing, we have to see it through its conclusion. We at some point are going to get you hyped for a bowl game. It will happen. At some other point, we might even get you hyped for a division title. Who knows? We might get you hyped for a year in which they win like 10 games. That's why the hype cast exists. We're going to power through, and we'll be back on Thursday for another Hypecast to get you fired up for the interim coach battle between Mickey Joseph and Jim Leonard with Wisconsin. For Michael Brooks, for Brian Christofferson, I'm Mike Schaefer. Be sure to check out Husker247.com. Plenty of coverage. We'll have, of course, the coaching stuff. Last visit weekend, there'll be plenty of recruits on campus. I'm already writing about some of those as well. And, of course, Mickey Joseph talks on Tuesday. Coordinators talk on Wednesday. Plenty of coverage for the upcoming Wisconsin game. And the Hypecast will be back on Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.